Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise during a major Jewish holiday. Now, 13 and a half hours after Hamas launched its audacious assault, Israel says it's at war.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when it comes to destroying Hamas, quote, nobody will stop us.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
For years, Israel has accused UNRWA, the disgraced United Nations agency, of ties to Palestinian terrorism and incitement and glorification of violence. But only after the massacres of October 7th did the UN agency, officially tasked with providing aid to Palestinians, get into the larger spotlight. Israel has accused and provided evidence for UNRWA staff participating in Hamas's massacre and has pointed to a huge Hamas data center built directly underneath the agency's Gaza City headquarters, as well as satellite photos of schools built on top of Hamas bunkers and much more. Every year, UNRWA receives funding from international donors, including Canada, meaning Ottawa has effectively funded Hamas terrorism. As a result, the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, CIJA, recently announced it was taking legal action against the Trudeau government, saying that funding UNRWA contravenes Canadian anti-terrorism legislation. Richard Marceau, CIJA's VP and General Counsel, joins us as a guest. Welcome to the Honest Report podcast. Richard, welcome to the Honest Report podcast.
Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all ours. I wanted to ask you about a step that CIJA, the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, is taking in response to the federal government's resumption of funding to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. And I want to quote a press release that CIJA put out in early April, April 4th. It says, quote, "Today, Canadian families who lost loved ones in the horrific Hamas terrorist attacks on October 7th, 2023, together with the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, filed a federal court application for judicial review of the Government of Canada's decision to resume funding for the controversial UNRWA, contending that the decision to do so was patently unreasonable because it violates Canadian law." Help us understand exactly what that means.
Well, thank you for having me. So it means the following. First, Hamas is a listed terrorist entity in Canada. Thus, it means that helping Hamas in any way, shape, or form is illegal under Canadian law. Two, we know that Hamas and UNRWA are very close. We know that UNRWA employees have participated in the horrific attacks on October 7th. We know that there are dozens and dozens of UNRWA employees who are members and or sympathizers of UNRWA. We know that they are Hamas installations, tunnels under UNRWA buildings in Gaza, including a military base under UNRWA's own HQ in Gaza.
20 minutes above us is the UNRWA headquarters. This is the electricity room. You can see all around here the batteries, the electricity walls. Everything is conducted from here, all the energy. For the tunnels, which you walk through them, are powered from here.
So all this make the decision to resume funding to UNRWA patently unreasonable. And to add to this, there's the fact that when on January 26th, Minister Hussein announced a suspension of funding to UNRWA, he said that the government was going to wait until an investigation was completed before making a decision. And then on March the 8th, Minister Hussein announced that it was resuming funding, even though they did not have the results of the final investigation. So all this to say that, put together, it makes the decision to resume funding for UNRWA unreasonable under Canadian law and thus should be quashed.
So what is the specific ask that you are, obviously broadly for this to not happen, but what is the specific ask that you are making of the federal court? Is that this funding gets suspended, that there's a secondary review? What's the specific you know, step that you want to be taken?
Well, long term is that there can be no funding for UNRWA, certainly under the circumstances. And two, pending the decision of the federal court, the funding should be suspended.
And so how much of this has to do with the investigation by UNRWA? That, just to clarify that, obviously, broadly, you're saying that under the current circumstances, there shouldn't be funding for UNRWA. But is it that this has to be conditioned on this internal report that UNRWA is carrying out about its workers on October 7th, or that's just a side point?
Well, I don't think it's that central. I think that UNRWA has been flagged for having problems for a long, long time. I can go back to at least 10 years where CEJA has written letters to different governments and saying what's happening with UNRWA is unacceptable, what is being taught in school by UNRWA teachers is fomenting hate against Israel and Jews. So there has been a long, long, long period in which we all know that UNRWA has been problematic. Most of the time, the world was more willing to close its eyes and pretend that it wasn't really an issue, because a lot of people did not want to do that work. But now we know that leaving the situation as is makes the situation worse, because when you have people who are employees of UNRWA going out and killing families and raping women and killing babies and taking hostages, when we have people on chat groups of UNRWA employees celebrating the horrors of October 7th, we know that the disease is so deep, that the rot is so extensive, that UNRWA is, I believe, unreformable, and we need to look at options, at alternatives.
So interestingly, in 2013 and 2014, Canada didn't donate to UNRWA, and it actually was the only country ever at that time to withdraw funding completely. I want to quote a statement from CEJA with respect to UNRWA. It said, quote, that the organization has, quote, serious reservations about UNRWA, an organization that is implicated with assisting terrorist groups such as Hamas, which is notorious for diverting funds and materials provided by the international community intended for humanitarian aid to terrorist purposes. That was from 2016, when the federal government resumed, under Justin Trudeau, resumed funding to UNRWA. So why now? Why not 8.5 years ago that Canada has been funding UNRWA?
Well, at the time, we kind of tried to work within the system. We said, okay, we understand that there's a need to help Gazans, and there's, if we can reform UNRWA enough, if we can make sure that Canadian money actually goes to where it's supposed to go and is not hijacked or taken and goes to places that it shouldn't be, maybe there's a way to work around this. Obviously, it's not the case, and October 7th is the proof of that. So we tried, didn't work, and now it's time to move on to alternatives.
And so, what's the role that that these families are playing in your legal efforts?
They are full partners. They are applicants, like CEJA is. Listen. They suffered and are suffering incredible pains with what they went through and are still going through, and they do not want Canadian money to go to an organization that has been in effect helping the people who caused their pains. So when we approached them and said, "Would you be interested?" the answer did not take long to be told to us. I said, absolutely, this we have to do everything that we can to make sure that no one ever, ever, ever has to live through what we're living through now because of UNRWA and Hamas and what they did on October 7th and after.
Now, there's been since the government's suspension of funding to UNRWA and then subsequently its resumption, there's been, I would say, somewhat of an attempt to rehabilitate UNRWA's image in the news media. Much of the coverage refers to Israel's quote-unquote allegations that a handful of individuals from UNRWA participated on October 7th. but very little about the data center found underneath UNRWA's headquarters and so on. What do you think are the most impactful arrows in your quiver that you can share publicly? In other words, the most damning evidence that there is about UNRWA. Is it the incitement that its textbooks have? Is it the tunnel system underneath UNRWA's headquarters? Is it the participants in October 7th? Is it the social media where they've expressed joy? I mean, what do you think is the strongest evidence that UNRWA is unredeemable?
Well, I believe it's all of the above. It is showing a pattern of hate against Israel and against Jews, and having and seeing the results of that, and seeing the either active help to Hamas by participation in the October 7th attack. It is the cheering on Hamas by UNRWA employees on that chat that I mentioned. It is their closing their eyes about what's going on under their feet. And listen, if there's, you know, I'm speaking to you now downtown Ottawa, and if there are constructions around, I can see it or I can feel it or I can hear it when I walk around. There is no way that when there's something being dug under your building, and when people are actually connecting electricity, you know, Hamas using electricity from a UNRWA building, that nobody knows about this. So that this the entire way that UNRWA has dealt with Hamas is at fault. And there's no secret. We put it in our notice of application. When we're going to file our supporting affidavits, it's going to be even more in depth as to the issues that we've identified. Those will be public. We have nothing to hide. And I dare anyone to tell us that there's something that you can find in those documents that is not true. That there was no help from Hamas, from UNRWA employees for Hamas. That there was no tunnels or HQ built under UNRWA institutions. I dare anybody to show that we're wrong.
What do you make of the attempt at rehabilitation? Certainly I would see it with respect to UNRWA that you've seen in some of the news media outlets, many news media outlets in recent weeks, describing them as indispensable in Gaza and so on. How much of is this, what was this attributable to? Because I would argue that, or I would point out rather, that Israel talks about the number of aid trucks more now than before October 7th, and yet there's a lot of issues with UNRWA distributing competently the aid in Gaza. So does that play a role as well in talking about that that UNRWA has not necessarily even succeeded at distributing the aid that it is ostensibly supposed to do?
Well, it's actually worse than that, Robert. I was just looking earlier that UNRWA has been publicizing numbers that the number of trucks that they say has gone into Gaza, and COGAP, the Israeli institution that, and they have proof that has a number of trucks that is actually much higher than UNRWA. So UNRWA is actually lying in terms of the numbers of trucks that are being in the shortcomings of UNRWA to distribute the aid. So UNRWA is dishonest. It's been dishonest for years. And what is actually quite sad and pathetic and deplorable is the fact that people will simply take UNRWA's numbers as, pardon the pun, as gospel, as truth, uncontroversial truth, and it's not the case. I call on media, and I call on researchers, and I call on politicians, and I call on diplomats to actually look at the numbers, and they will see that the number of trucks going in is actually much higher than UNRWA makes it to be, and they should call out UNRWA for, again, being dishonest and lying.
So help us understand, how much money then is Canada expected to give to UNRWA, assuming there are no interruptions or revisions?
Well, they should be giving nothing.
No, sorry, I didn't mean in a moral perspective. I meant factually speaking. What is Canada scheduled to be giving to UNRWA this year?
It's in different tranches. I believe the next installment is supposed to be $25 million in the next little while, and we're hoping that because those and we're actually expecting that because there is now this case in front of the federal court that this will be suspended until the federal court decides.
And what's the timeline that you expect on this?
Well, justice, the justice system is not necessarily the fastest, doesn't necessarily go as fast as we would want. It's certainly a question of at least of weeks, because we still have to file our supporting affidavits, and then the government has time to respond and then has to go to the process. So weeks, maybe months before we move for a hearing on this.
Now, help me understand a little bit in terms of this specific, not the basis for the argument, but the specific issue that you have. It's that not only that, of course, that UNRWA is in bed with Hamas, so to speak, but that this specifically violates Canadian legislation with respect to Hamas being a banned terrorist organization. Is that correct?
Right, yes. So you cannot, in Canadian law, help an organization that is a banned terrorist organization. So there's in its anti-terrorist legislation, there's a possibility of for the federal government to put on the list organization that it deems terrorist. Hamas belongs to that list. So then helping Hamas directly or indirectly is illegal. The second another piece of legislation that we believe the Canadian government is offside of by with its decision to resume funding is that to give aid the institutions or the organizations that receive Canadian money have to respect Canadian values, and we think that because of its links to Hamas, UNRWA does not fit that criteria. So by giving money to UNRWA and thus to Hamas, the federal government is also on offside of its own legislation dealing with humanitarian aid.
Now, how important do you think public awareness and education is with respect to not only UNRWA's demonstrable links to Hamas terrorism, but also its incompetence, and this addresses the issue of defenders saying that it plays an indispensable role, its incompetence, and that's judging it favorably, in terms of actually delivering aid in Gaza. In other words, that your average Canadian recognizes that their tax dollars not only go to a group that has links to Palestinian terrorism, but also doesn't even do the job that it purports to do, providing aid to Gaza.
Well, I think most Canadians don't follow those issues as closely as you and I, Robert, do. I would say that even though there are, yes, anti-Semites and Israel haters out there, I do believe that the vast majority of Canadians are well-meaning. They want to help people in need. They want they support giving aid to people who need it. And that is why when they're seeing images coming from Gaza, they say, okay, what can we do to help them? So I don't think we should make light of this, because I think it shows Canadians to be well-meaning and if not golden-hearted. We just have to show them that going through UNRWA not only does not do what they would want to do with their money, but actually round counterproductive to this, because it's helping an organization that wants nothing to do with peace. And in fact, as we know, Hamas is dedicated to the destruction of Israel and to the killing of Jews. And that is not where Canadians are at.
Well, thank you very much, Richard Marceau from the Center of Israel and Jewish Affairs, for sharing an insight on this legal action. Very much appreciated for your time today.
Thank you, Robert.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.